Happy Monday. Tim and Dan with you for your Monday afternoon here on Triple M Modern Digital, right across Australia, Dan.
Mm-hmm. We're finally up on air. We usually start at midday.
Yeah.
A little bit late.
There's a little bit of a technical difficulty.
Yeah.
Someone not turning up to press
and
the
buttons. Are not equipped to run anything important in this studio. So
not skilled enough.
No. Sit tight.
Luckily, we've got our rescuers in the studio and they've come and started the song and stuff and they can start the next one here. This is U2, one of your favourite bands.
I want to talk about Bono later. He's so cool.
What about Bono?
Sunglasses, mostly, is what it's related to. But
I like what they've done here with the drums.
Why?
It's very U2-esque. Just got 18 seconds here that I'm
going to talk
about.
There's a lot of padding that we've got to do right here. We're all thrown. We're a little bit frazzled. We're late on air.
But
I'm
just
stressed.
Just enjoy this here. This bit.
This
one. That's nice, isn't it? Tim and Dan with you for your Monday afternoon right across Australia on Triple M Modern Digital. Dan, we actually hung out on the weekend.
We did.
Went to a little food.
It was lovely.
Festival.
I came and picked you up. Myself, my girlfriend Georgia, picked
up
you and Emma. A little double date night. It was lovely. We had a good time.
It was lovely. Mm. Up until a certain point.
What did I do?
Well, nothing that you did. Something that popped up that I'd like to throw out there to the food and hospitality industry.
Something
that needs to be looked at,
I
think. I'm all about fairness. I'm all about fairness.
Okay, so that's the key word we're going to go with here, fairness, yeah.
Let me give you a scenario. If you and I were to go to a pub and we were to both order a chicken parma with chips and salad.
Yep.
When they both came out, would you expect them to both be of similar portion size?
I see where
size?
This is going, I completely agree. Where it comes out and one person's clearly got more than the other and they've ordered
meal,
the same.
Paying the same dollar.
It's nothing more
frustrating. Ordered the same meal. Different size.
Yep.
So you're getting more than, this doesn't seem fair, does it?
No.
Now, when you go to a bar and you order a glass of wine, or there's a fill line, right?
Yep.
There's a fill line. There's a definite end that everyone will get this glass, mm-hmm. this same glass, and you'll all be paying this amount.
Yeah.
That equivalent does not exist for food. We're at this food festival.
Yes.
And I was waiting in line for my mac and goreng, which is a Asian twist on mac and cheese. It was delightful.
You were very excited about it, and you waited about 25 minutes for it.
I waited a long time, Dan.
Yeah.
Along with a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the mac and goreng was finished and they were serving it up, there were some that weren't at the same
as
level.
Full.
Right.
Okay, so what they'd done was they'd come over and they'd like sort of laid them all out on the bench and
then
just started sort of handing them out
to
all the
orders. It was a mass order. There's a lot of people waiting for mac and goreng. So they loaded up about 20 and they said, here you go. And I just so happened to get the short straw and I got less, but I paid the same. So what I'm saying is we need to introduce the fill line equivalent on a drink to food items.
Okay, well, you realize that the fill line on a drink, it's not done out of fairness. It's responsible service of alcohol.
Responsible service of food will also apply.
So that's what we're looking for here. Okay, and I understand.
We don't want anyone to overeat, do we?
No, of course.
We don't want anyone to undereat.
No.
I think it's important to get
bang on the right amount. That's a good way of.
So how do we do it?
Well, I think it's a bit harder to do, isn't it? Because, I mean, if somebody comes out, as you said, your first example was a plate, a parma on a plate.
Yep. I had a thought.
Okay.
My grandpa, in his tool shed, on the wall, he traces all the tools, right?
Oh,
on the wall. So he knows
yeah.
where the hammer goes. That's the hammer spot because there's the trace of the hammer.
Yeah.
At restaurants, on the plates, they need to start introducing trace lines of chicken parma. It needs to be that size.
Yes.
Salad needs to be, the plate needs to be divided up into sections. And so everyone gets the same size
meal. What about food waste though? Because you've got to be careful here, Tim. Okay, somebody, I don't even know how you make a schnitzel that is part of the chicken parmigiana, but some are always going to have to be smaller because the animals that these are coming from, they're not all the same size. I think the important thing to focus on here is when two people are ordering the same thing. I think that is where this needs to be. So it's almost like there's a little outline that a chef can place over a plate.
Yep. Like that.
Yep.
Like
yep.
a traceable thing.
A traceable thing.
Yep.
When they've got a table with two of the same meal.
Great.
Otherwise,
I whip out the tracer.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, punch out the rest of the smaller options on the single order tables. You know what I'm saying?
Here's a question. Could you send back food for being not the same size as someone? What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Yes?
I think there's a valid argument.
There's grounds for that?
Or a discount. Small discount, but...
test it out this weekend.
Where?
Tim and Dan.
Mate, you know what happened the other night to me? So I was at work at my other job, and I was sitting there with a guy I've been really good mates with for so long, but I found myself so quickly questioning our friendship.
Really? How long have you been friends for?
2 years.
Two years. Like a good, so pretty good friends.
Pretty good friends, yeah.
Did he do something that's just made you go...
It's what he didn't do.
Okay.
It's what he didn't do.
What didn't he do?
Well, we're sitting there, both doing our work, and it's hay fever season. You know what I'm like.
Oh, and shocking this year. Shocking. Really shocking. Right around the country, too.
Yeah. You done?
Yeah.
And I sneezed.
Oh.
I sneezed.
Yep.
And I paused. Nothing.
So you're waiting for a...
Well, a bless you.
Bless you.
Yeah. Because I'm a big bless you guy. Huge bless you guy.
It's one of those small pleasantries, isn't it? It's like a please, thank yous. It's one of those.
And it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to be polite.
No. Sure.
And it didn't come. And I sort of, you know, gave a little look out the corner of my eye. He was sort of across from me. And there was nothing. And it didn't even look like there was a blip on his radar as a sneeze had occurred.
Mm.
So I don't know if it was a choice or what. But I mean, are you a bless you guy?
I am a bless you guy.
Is it unfair for me to be judging our friendship?
Well, I think the thing is about bless you guys and bless you people. Most of them are hay fever sufferers, people who sneeze quite often. So they understand the importance and the value of a bless you. So you and I sneeze quite a bit, especially this time of year.
Absolutely.
If I forget a Zyrtec, I'm done for the day.
Yeah.
So I will notice bless yous more than others.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, is there something to be said in the frequent sneezer? Like, are we spending too much time?
Too many bless yous.
Well, you know,
maybe
at some point...
Maybe he knows that you're a hay fever sufferer and goes, geez, not this again.
Well, it could be that. Yeah. Could be that. Or it could be, well, this could be the first of many. So, you know, I'll save the bless you. But I think if you're going to give a bless you, it's
pretty quick.
It's a one bless you for one sneeze.
You know what I do when I sneeze and I don't get a bless you? I do a... Oh, excuse me.
Really?
I do that. I feel that...
It's a prompt.
I feel that sort of dead air there. With just a sort of, I've acknowledged that I've sneezed. Maybe that was inconvenient for you. Certainly was for me.
But is it done out of guilt? Like, are you trying to guilt this person into going, God, you didn't acknowledge my sneeze?
There might be a bit of that, yeah. Might be a bit of why I wasn't there and bless you. But mainly it's sort of just to clear the air of that's happened.
So you feel you feel quite bad from sneezing. You feel guilty that you've...
Well, I've disrupted the airspace with... germs, but also the audible, my sneezes are louder. You heard me just before
it's
we
startling.
Went on air.
Yeah.
They're louder. And so if someone's quietly reading and I come in with a sneeze.
Fascinating.
It disrupts. I say, excuse me. Sorry about that.
Does it depend on the environment if you're given, excuse me? Is it a work-based thing? People are focused. People are trying to get something done. If you're at home on the couch with Emma, your girlfriend, and you let her sneeze, are you doing an excuse me there? Or
no, absolutely not. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
It's Tim and Dan. Living End on Triple M Modern Digital, right across the country. Tim and Dan with you this afternoon.
That song just sort of falls away at the end there, doesn't it?
It's good though. I like Living End. Good local boys.
Living End.
The Living End.
Are they Australian?
Absolutely. What's wrong with you? We're on Triple M. What are you?
I'm up with it. I'm hip.
He was struggling with his headphones before too. Dan, as you know. Got a wedding coming up. When I say coming up, it's more than 12 months away.
But also, you don't have a wedding. It's your wedding. Like, this is yours. You don't just have a wedding.
Yeah, my wedding.
Don't let Emma hear you talk like that.
Yeah, marrying the beautiful Emma, my fiance. And it's amazing how prepared you need to be this far out. We're more than a year out, but we've locked everything in.
Well, I don't know, but from all the experience I've had with conversations with people, things start getting booked up. You
absolutely.
Know, photographers, they go 12 months in advance. So you've got to snap. Yeah. So you're spending money so far out that it sort of just seems like you're flushing money down
the
toilet.
It's crazy. And it's a big day.
Yeah.
You want to get it right. You want to get all the right suppliers on board. A great photographer, great videographer, great band.
You
got it. There's a lot of pressure.
Well, it's your day. And this is the one day you're going to remember it the rest of your life.
Mm.
It's got to be perfect.
I came across a story the other day
that
I enjoyed. Because it's something that I've got a concern about with my wedding. I've selected my groomsmen and my best man.
Yep.
And all very good looking fellas.
Do they know yet or can we not say names?
We won't say names.
Okay.
Because some know, some don't.
Okay.
All very good looking lads. Very good looking lads. Which is unfortunate for me because in the photos, I'll look quite average next to them. In the 4,000 dollar photos that we're getting for the day. I came across this story. This bride, right, in preparation for her wedding, she deliberately fattened up her bridesmaids.
Oh.
She tricked them each morning. She made them a breakfast smoothie that she said, this is a slimming smoothie. I want us to look great on the day. It actually had bulking powder in it. So she was deliberately having them
bulking
gain weight. The other thing she did, Dan, was she put them in neon yellow dresses that made them look washed out and slightly ill. Now, she switched on.
She is switched and on. And she's also got her priorities in order too.
She does.
Because, like, you know, if you're spending this much money, you need photos.
Right.
Okay, so photos. Ballpark figure, what are you spending
$4,000.
4 grand on photos.
About $4,000. These photos are going to be up in your house.
Yep.
They're going to be with you forever. You're going to be showing your kids, your grandkids, all this. You want to look good. And you want to look the best.
I was going to say, you don't want to look good. You got to look the best out of everyone.
Out of everyone, you do.
And so, you're sort of the ugly duckling at this point, do you feel?
Definitely,
amongst you?
Definitely.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Definitely. So I'm thinking, and I brought it to the table today because I just wanted to run it past you.
Yeah.
Is that unethical or is it okay?
I mean, ethics are a funny thing. The sort of thing where no one quite knows where the line is with ethics. So I think you can push it. You're not paying them. So
I can get away. I can get away
you
with the shake as well because it's kind of like,
yeah,
it's a protein shredding. It's a shredding shake.
Yeah. I mean, there's an issue that you've brought it up on this, and if they're that close to you, where they're in your bridal party, they might hear it.
Yeah, they're not listening.
Tim,
Dan,
it's time for
Tim and Dan's rule book. Dun,
dun, dun, the book dun, rule. Dun, 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 with Tim dun, and Dan. Dun, 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 dun. All right.
Great.
What happened? You knew we were doing it.
Well, yeah, because I forgot that if I say your name after I finish talking, it doesn't work, does it?
No. Because it sounds like you've started it. And I'm meant to start because then I sing and you do the...
Yep. Of course.
There's a whole thing that goes into it. But anyway, this is the rule book.
This is where we set a rule for today that we're going to put into a book, which I've got just here.
Sound effects.
And it's sort of a general universal rule for life. You know,
it is. Everything. Yeah. Anything from our everyday life that we pick up and we think, you know what? Everyone's got that issue.
Absolutely.
We bring it to the table. Okay. I'm pulling double duty. We thought you did the last one. Apparently, I did the last one.
That's okay. You've got another
rule.
Sorry. You've got rules to get off your chest. I got rules to get off my chest.
This one annoyed me, mate. All right. Firstly, rule from last episode.
It's talking about, it might be hard to remember actually. Let's just do this one.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Okay.
Go find it on the podcast. Yeah. Anyway, rule this week. Never should you wear sunglasses inside.
I think there's a lot of questions here.
I don't. I think that's clean cut. Why? Why
well,
would
hold
anyone?
On.
They're an okay. outdoor eyewear.
Okay. So if I was walking into a cafe, a well-lit cafe, maybe a glass frontage, it's a sunny day, and I was popping in and out, and I had sunglasses on, I'm not going to take them off my head.
I would always take them off.
Have them on. Flat white, thanks. No worries. The sun is coming in the shop still. I still need my sunglasses, but I'm inside. I don't think you've thought about
the setting
completely.
You think you've got to think about things like time limits on how long you're going to be... It's not as stressful and it doesn't exert a lot of energy to take off sunglasses.
Well, I don't take them off just because there's a roof over my head. Do you know what I mean?
Onto the head. That's what most people, that's what most sane people would do is just push up onto the head.
Sure.
Grab their coffee, flick back down.
It's a
small movement.
I'm more of a lingerer. I sort of leave them on my face until I've sat down. I'm ready to go.
So you might drift. If you're, at this coffee shop, well-lit coffee shop.
Yeah.
Are you somebody that might sort of, weave in and out of the shop. You might, while you're waiting for your coffee, you might pop back outside.
Yeah.
Look around on the street.
Getting a takeaway, maybe pop out, get vitamin D.
Yeah, so you're not staying in the one spot. Interesting. So you think, would you agree that the rule needs to be made, though? Do you think there's excessive indoor eye wearing of sunglasses?
I think there are people who have proven that it's extremely cool to wear sunglasses 24/7. I mean, this guy... Roy Orbison, made them famous.
Yeah.
One of your absolute favourites. Bono.
Bono's cool. I think Bono might have
always
some sort
wearing sunglasses.
Degenerative eye disease or something.
If you saw Bono in a cafe with sunglasses on,
yeah, but there's
coffee,
a difference, Tim. They've got an aura around them. Well, you don't. You're Tim James from Hawthorne,
well,
Melbourne.
It,
you know, like,
it
it's
really,
not.
It's fine. And a certain crime show would not have been the same without sunglasses. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, what was his name?
David Caruso.
Well, that's the actor, I think.
Is it?
I don't know.
It's not the character's name.
I don't remember. Dave, do you remember the character's name to on CSI? Is it Horatio?
No.
Oh,
Horatio.
Horatio. Horatio. Yeah.
There we go. We got there in the end, guys.
Okay, good, good.
So
he was cool, and I get, but you know what? You know what my biggest gripe with that is? The coolest thing about Horatio with sunglasses, whipping them off.
Mm.
Would you not agree? Horatio was cool because he whipped off his glasses when he got indoors.
I thought he whipped them on. I thought he would be like, and so that's solved. And then
yeah, but he was leaving at that point.
Well,
again, they're coming off. I think, all right, so you want to put the rule, but you want a little.
Yeah, I think the rule should be no sunglasses inside.
For periods longer than.
Than 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you're in and out inside setting,
yep,
within 10 minutes, you can leave the shades on.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, the shades must come off.
And if you're a rock star / celebrity, you can leave them on, no matter
what. Yeah, of course, they're cool.
Are you happy with that? Or?
Yeah. I think the amendments are good down the bottom.
Okay.
Pretty sound rule.
All right.
Pretty fair rule. All right, well, that's another rule in Tim and Dan's rule book.
Dun, dun, dun,
the book
dun,
rules dun, 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 with Tim and Dan.
Dun, 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 dun.
Good.
Yeah, good. REM on Triple M, Modern Digital, right across Australia. Tim and Dan with you for your Monday arvo.
I was just saying how a part of my job that I work at a movie cinema.
Yeah.
And part of that job, I have to take like a booking confirmation number from people.
Series of letters and numbers.
Yeah. And this happens at a lot of places. Airlines.
Is that over the phone? Like over the phone when you say, oh,
yeah,
what's
often,
your booking reference number? Is this when people want refunds or something?
Yeah. Something like that. Or they just want to confirm something, Tim.
Right.
It's a confirmation number.
Okay, sure.
So what often will happen is I'll get a call and they'll recite their booking number for me.
Mm.
And what I've come to learn is people are great. Well, some people at least are great at being able to do the whole W for Walter, and
right,
giving a word.
279, D for Darren.
Yes.
Yes. Delta.
Exactly.
Which would be the phonetic alphabet, NATO phonetic alphabet.
What's that? Is that a thing? Is there a thing that.
Are you serious?
Well, that's. No.
Well,
what's that? Explain what that
well,
is first.
That's
because you've said that there's obviously something that everyone knows about.
Well, it's a universal. The NATO phonetic alphabet is like a. Dave, you might need to help me here. It's like a military thing. It's the reference.
Dave doesn't know.
But it's the reference point for the alphabet for like when you. Say if someone's got an accent and they go, oh, you know, I'm. My car registration is 7T Tango.
That's confusing.
It's A for alpha, B for beta. Like it's
yeah.
I'm going to quickly get it up while you're talking, but
it's a thing.
So
that's interesting because my whole thing has been how are these people so good at pulling words out?
They probably have the NATO alphabet in front of
have
them.
Have you got it?
Yeah, here. Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Foxtrot. You're telling me you've never heard these are the sorts of words they're
I'm
using?
I'm familiar with these words, but not in this context.
November, Oscar, Tango, Uniform, Victor, Whiskey. Like.
So these are all agreed upon words that people have said, you know what, when we need to do the whole, if we've got a bad line on the phone.
That's right.
What we'll do is, you for, what was you?
Uniform.
Uniform.
That's why the military use it, because they've got a bad patchy line. They're trying to, we're at this location, Romeo, Sierra, Tango, which is RST. Could be anywhere.
But I've spent so long stressing about trying to find the correct word to associate with the letter. So there's
you
actually.
You can just print this off now.
Yeah, well, you know what though? This is my point. I have heard people use words that aren't on that list.
Okay.
So I think there are people out there that are just quite good at, bang, I've got a word for that.
Yeah.
So W.
Boom.
Look, I panicked. Instantly, I didn't have anything.
Oh.
And I knew it.
So this is something, you've worked at Hoyts for 9 years, 9+ years.
Yeah.
And this is the one part of your job that you've kept quiet.
This is the one part I'm not good
at. It's eating away at you.
And the thing is, because everyone else around me seems so good at it, I don't really feel like I can say anything. It's too late.
Do you reckon you're alone? Because I knew about the NATO phonetic alphabet. Dave knew about it. Like, there might be other people who don't. I don't know.
That's what I mean. I think there's more people out there that actually don't know about it, but they're actually, they're like me. They're just trying to find a word just to throw together with a letter. Mm. So, I mean, do we ask?
If you
like me and you find yourself, you don't know about, what is it? The NATO
phonetic alphabet.
Phonetic alphabet. And you're finding yourself in a position where you need to use a word to make it clear what letter you're talking about, and you're just pulling words out, and you think you're good at it. That's the catch there. Give us a call. What's the number here?
Some people might not
have. Do we have a number here?
Yeah, 1300 161.
Oh, there.
006. Give us a call. Some people might have better words than the NATO. Is that what you're looking for? Some people have better words.
You know what? Let's make the Dan phonetic alphabet.
Okay, interesting.
Now the phone rang and we were like, oh, somebody is very interested in this subject we're talking about, because we're talking about the NATO phonetic alphabet, which I didn't know was a thing. And the NATO phonetic alphabet is...
I've blown you away. The NATO phonetic alphabet is basically the universal alphabet that people like the military, like sort of civilians use as well.
Yeah.
When they're trying to spell out a word using other words.
So an example,
would be... You know, oh, I went down and had some wine, you know, whiskey, India, November, Echo.
And that's...
that's the phonetic way of spelling wine.
And apparently there's people that are quite good with this. And I've always been like, how are these people so good? But when Tim went through the NATO phonetic alphabet, I was like, no, I've heard different words being used for these letters. Hmm. So I'm under the impression there's people out there that feel that they're actually just good at pulling a random word out.
Yeah.
And I want to be that good. Now... we've had someone call in. It wasn't just anybody, though. It's somebody that's been on the show before.
Jimbo from Dymo.
Yeah.
Jimbo. Hey,
there he is. Now, you've been on, you've had a couple of things that we've spoken about on this, but you're here because you feel that you're quite good at being able to pull a random word and associate it with a letter when trying to spell out something.
Oh, I'd like to think I'm half decent at it.
Do you find yourself doing it often?
Of course.
Well, Jimbo's a tradesman, so he's obviously sometimes over the phone. Maybe you've got an invoice number. Oh, it's it. What reference number's your invoice, mate? Oh, so Jimbo would be well-versed in this, I imagine, Jim.
I believe, especially when you're dealing with old Dot, and she can't really hear you. So
Dot!
You've really
Dot.
Got to pull it out for her.
Dot down the road.
Okay, brilliant.
So we thought it would be fun, Dan, to pick a couple of words for Jim to spell out.
Yes.
He's got this great skill. Let's see what he can do with it.
Because you've called him with such confidence, we quickly went away and we thought, what's a couple of words we'll get him to spell? Now, Tim's got them written down in front of him. Jim, are you ready to try and sort of give us your spelling out of these words?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here we go, Jim. Okay. All right. First word is cog. Like a cog you would find on a bike. The cogs of a bike wheel. Cog.
All right. So C for Caroline, O for ostrich, and G for goat.
He's done well.
Hey, not bad.
Well done.
Not bad. That's okay. Good. Well, and mind you, that's only a three-letter one. So that's...
unfortunately, that was better than I thought he'd go.
It was better. Have we got something a little trickier there?
Here we go. Here's a four-letter word. Pizza.
Pizza, Jim.
Pizza.
You love pizza.
Pizza? Did you say four-letter or five-letter? Because I think it's
Five. He's got me there.
Yes.
He switched on today.
Okay, so pizza.
Yeah, P for pizza, I for igloo, Z for zebra, number two, and A for astronaut.
What? Okay, you've done it. To give you an idea, Jim, if you were using the NATO phonetic alphabet, though.
You should have spelt pizza Papa India Zulu Zulu Alpha, Jim. You should have.
Zulu, Jim.
What's a Zulu?
I thought he'd laugh at that.
What's a Zulu? None of us know, mate.
Dan, I've coming to the end of the year, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah. November.
Good. Factual.
And there seems to be this sort of pressure to catching up with everyone before Christmas. Everyone says it.
There definitely is.
At the end of a sentence.
Yeah.
Got to see you before the end of... got to see you before Chrissy, don't we?
Yeah. We've got to get together.
Let's catch up before Chrissy, because we know when Chrissy comes, everything's...
I wonder if it's like a guilt thing. Like, people see the end of the year coming, they're like, God, I haven't seen... I must... Everyone's got this box in their head. They've got to check all these boxes off.
There's a lot of guilt What I've discovered is there's a lot of guilt around catching up with friends and the pressure of catching up with friends enough.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
I've got some friends who I love.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to catch up for a long time. Keep cancelling last minute.
Oh.
And it happens again and again and again.
Could be a few reasons for that. Well, how many are we talking? Because, I mean, you know, somebody can be sick and then, you know, work can pop up.
Four or five.
That's too many, isn't it?
That's... And it's at some point, you do want to turn around and just say, look, don't have to catch up.
Yeah.
We don't have to catch up.
We can call this off.
Let's call this what it is and it's an inconvenience.
It's hard to do a cancel without a reschedule. Right. Like you feel too awkward cancelling, so naturally you go, but we'll reschedule it.
Yeah. And I don't think
you're saying, don't worry.
There shouldn't be any nervousness about it. It should be just an upfront, honest conversation.
Yeah.
And something that I'd like to just run by you is I've actually come up with six categories for your friends to categorize your friends, your friendship group, and their time span categories or times to see that person during the year.
Oh, so you're allotting different friends a specific amount of times they must see. Well, that makes sense.
There are six categories in my list. For example, you might be a once-a-month friend, but you're higher than that probably. It's probably once a fortnight.
I think so, yeah.
Here are the categories. Once a week, once a fortnight, once a month, three times a year, which is every 4 months, twice a year, and once a year friends. Do you have your friendship group in your mind right now? And can you just sort of visually go through and just...
I can start slotting people in.
Can't you?
I'm trying to think. To be honest, I'm trying to think of... I think once a week. I think that's a pretty close friend. That's your best friend. That's your best friend.
Dave just said that's a lot.
We've all got things to do. Yeah. Everyone's got things to do. I don't know if I could be slotting anyone in once a week.
Once a fortnight is almost like your best friend as well.
Yeah, I think that would be a best friend. Pushing past that, it starts getting probably clearer.
Can I ask you, this category, this list of categorizing your friends into that time, those time spots, would this help with a lot of social situations in your life? Certainly would with mine. Am I wrong?
Especially this time of year. I would know. I'd be able to look at my list and go, they've met their quota.
Yeah.
So,
and for you to sit down with your friends and to go through this list and go, hey, what are we? Are we twice a year?
Okay.
Are we three times a year?
So it's almost something you need to address. You would like to be able to have that open flowing conversation amongst, and if we're all friends, we should be able to do this as grown adults.
It's a one-time conversation that'll end a lifetime of suffering, of guilt and, we've got to...
Know where you stand.
Know where you stand.
So maybe at the start of a friendship, you make a new friend, you know, just to let you know, look, I had fun. Did you have fun tonight? Yeah, too. Yeah, good.
How often
could we do this, do you think? Well, you know...
You and I, where would you say that... We are cousins, but I've written you in... I've actually categorized you right now, so I'm just curious to know what you think.
You and I... taking this away on a social level.
Social level, yeah.
I'd say easily fortnightly.
Fortnightly, okay.
What? Where is it?
I had once a month, so.
Once a month?
Well, I can, there's wiggle room. I can wiggle.
I'm constantly asking you to do things.
I can move things around. You had me once a fortnight.
Can you bump me up?
That ain't bad. Ratcat on Triple M Modern Digital. Tim and Dan with you. Winding down for your Monday afternoon.
Winding down,
But before we do that, Dan, we do this every single week.
Because we came on late today, we're a little late starting. I thought we might be able to cut this, but no, you've got it in.
No, I think it's important. It's a Monday. We're going into this long week, and I need to give you something to think about for the week. A quote.
Yeah, this probably makes more sense to do on a Monday than a Friday. People need to relax for the rest of the week, yeah.
So let's just bring it down. And here's your quote for the week.
Okay.
Always go too far because that's where you'll find the truth. Okay. Might just bring that music up a bit, Dave, just for him to ponder.
Yeah.
There it is.
Is Dave going to be part of this
Dave,
as well?
We'll get to Dave. Okay. What does it mean to you? Always go too far because that's where you'll find the truth. What does that mean to you?
So I guess...
Always go too far.
Always go too far. If you go too far with something, I'm struggling on this.
Okay, we might go to Dave. Dave, can you help? What does that quote mean for you, Dave? Always go too far because that's where you'll find the truth.
I think it's along the lines of aim for the moon, because even if you miss, you'll land among the stars.
That's amazing. That he's answered my question with another quote. I mean, that's...
try your hardest, because even if you don't reach your specific goal, you'll reach somewhere.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks, really.
I was going to say, to be honest, to me, this is the first thing that came to mind, but I wasn't sure if it was on the right track.
Mm, go on.
If I go too far with a joke and I offend somebody, I'll at least know they're offended.
You'll know the truth, yeah.
I'll know the truth.
Yeah, sure.
Same sort of thing.
Similar. Answered differently.
Answered differently. Probably not as...
poignant.
Well done, Dave. Well done, all right, Dave. You won't be coming back.
Thank you.
Cool.
That's very good. And look, that's about it, Dan. That's all I've got for you.
That's it for this show.
That's it.
Now, don't skip past the socials this time, mate. All right, you can follow us. Social media, Tim Dan Graham, Instagram, Facebook, search us, you'll find us, and YouTube, of course, we're on there. But more importantly, the podcast. Go find it on iTunes, subscribe.
We are on iTunes.
Yeah, leave a review, let Tim know what you think of his voice. He thinks he's got a great voice.
Wow.
What is it? It's apparently you think it's deep and sexy.
Okay, that's interesting.
He never said that.
We'll see you next time.
See you guys.
Bye.